Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Jay Hood with you. Cap is off today here on this Monday. Thanks so much for being with us. Open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning to you, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching the show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. In 1 hour, I'll crosstalk with Oblak and Abdallah from 10 to noon, followed by Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2, Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6, and a White Sox baseball as the White Sox take on the Kansas City Royals. 6 o'clock start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Speaking of baseball, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers in our next segment. We'll get his thoughts about the baseball weekend in Chicago and, of course, the worst weekends at 9:35. Well, we got some candidates. I see a runaway in one of them, but we'll get to it. Worst weekends at 9:35 right here on ESPN 1000. Yeah, we're talking in our last segment about Jared Vanderbilt, a player for the Lakers. And we bring him up only because here's a guy here that decided, even though he makes $4.4 million a year, he was called out for buying a $2,000 worth of clothes and wearing them on NBA game nights only to return them the next day. Now, again, I can understand if it's a suit. I can understand if it's a tuxedo. But the idea that it's just an outfit, nothing special. I mean, just a decent outfit where he wears a open white and blue short sleeve button down and had slim fit pants and all white sneakers, and he returns them. It's like, wow, that guy's saving big time. He's holding on to a dime pretty tightly. I understand he lives in LA, so there's a lot of taxes there. And then from there, just like he makes 4.4, but you're never good. Whatever he's going to wear, he's not going to catch up to AD and LeBron. And who's filming him anyway? So I guess for you guys, have you ever returned something? Wear something and return something the next day that wasn't a suit or a tuxedo? 312-332-3776. Here's what I would do. I mean, for him, if he's trying to pinch a penny, Tommy Bahama shirt with a nice pair of slacks or jeans or designer jeans and whatever shoes you want to wear, and then keep it moving. No one's looking for Jared Vanderbilt and his outfit. But then when Saks Fifth Avenue found out he returned it, then he got dragged through social. I mean, you and I may not know Jared Vanderbilt if he stood in front of us, but Saks Fifth Avenue knew what he was, and they dragged him through social like, oh, this guy buys this outfit and then returns the whole thing just to be seen on social media. It's weird. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Okay, so today starts Cubs and Cardinals. We have a lot of rivalries in sports, as you well know, and we talk so much about the Bears and the Packers and, you know, college football, USC and Notre Dame and, you know, and the SEC rivalries in college football, some of the National Football League that's lasted a long time, like the Raiders and the Chiefs, and it goes on and on and on. But something about that Midwest rivalry between the Cubs and the Cardinals that's lasted for a long time. And really, the rivalry is amongst fans, you and I, more so than the teams. I'm sure that they are aware of it, but it's, I mean, obviously, if you're a Cub fan or a Cardinal fan, that rivalry has been going on for a long, long time, generations. And so Wilson Contreras is in town. And I recall Wilson Contreras, the former Cub, saying that the Cardinals are a better organization than the Cubs. Like, oh, I got to learn the Cardinal way because the way they do business, all this, right? Wilson Contreras, similar to Chris Bryant and similar to Javi Baez, when they leave here, they're just not the same player. The only one that is not in that category is Anthony Rizzo, who continues to rake and play well for the New York Yankees. But the story came across a couple of days ago about Wilson Contreras, in which he's no longer the everyday catcher. They're going to try him out at DH or the outfield. Oh, man. That's not the Wilson Contreras that we remember. So he's going through some struggles, just like the Cardinals are going through struggles right now. And that rivalry is going to start. The Cardinals right now are 11-24. Can you imagine that? I'm not used to the Cardinals being that bad, but they are 11-24 against this Cubs team that just won 2 out of 3 against Miami in very impressive fashion. But I, you know, what struck me is Contreras, all the great years that he had with the Cubs, World Series champion, you know, he wanted to stay here past the deadline and he did. He wanted to resign with the Cubs, and it was probably time for the Cubs to turn the page on Contreras. I was telling Cap all the whole time, like, hey man, let Contreras try to latch on with a contender. Man, being in Chicago, especially with the Cubs not really trying to compete at the time, This is last year. I said, let him go to try to find his way to a contender. They held on to him. This whole tearful goodbye never happened with him and Ian Happ. Happ stays. Contreras goes. And Contreras said some things I thought that was a little sideways against the Cubs. If I'm a Cub fan, I'm not happy with that. But I wonder how you feel as a Cub fan knowing that Contreras is returning. It feels like to me, knowing Wrigley Field, that 75% of the audience will give him an applause. They'll give him his props. Like, hey, appreciate your time with the Cubs. Because some turn a blind eye to the quotes or not hear about them. Like, can Contreras really say something that was a little bit unpopular against the Cubs organization? The organization that fostered him, that fed him, that he was part of a championship team with? It's strange. But I want to kind of dig in a little deeper when it comes to rivalry, because I think it's interesting. Like, if you are a Cub fan and you have a problem with the Cardinals, I wonder where that started. Was it a game? Was it just being around your parents, being around other Cub fans and say, hey, you're supposed to hate the Cardinals? I wonder where that started. All I can just tell you, like, my experience as a White Sox fan watching the Twins over the years, the Tom Kelly Twins and the Ron Garnhire Twins. And it started for me is that the Twins were just that good, and they kept being better than the White Sox. And so even going back to Kirby Puckett, I did not like the Twins very much because they just were fundamentally sound. It maybe didn't win all the championships all the time, but they just seemed like they were always a step, two steps, five steps ahead of the White Sox. And so my strong sports hatred for the Twins comes from them being that good. And I wonder, do you feel that way as a Cub fan regarding the Cardinals? Contreras is part of the Cardinals. Can you separate a player you respect versus a team that you hate? Like, I can't wait to hear Sylvie's thoughts on that, because here's a guy here that is a lifelong Cub fan, loves Contreras. Can he separate Contreras from a Cardinals team that he can't stand? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let me get to Dave and Skokie on ESPN 1000. All right, Dave.
Yo, what's going on, Jay?
What's up, Dave? Man, so you heard that Vanderbilt story I told, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think you're tripping. Okay, I think you're tripping because I don't see no problem with returning an outfit. Let me tell you something, man. I went to Macy's not too long ago, a couple years ago, okay? I don't do this often, You know what I'm saying? I think I just did one, maybe two times at most, okay?
Sure.
I went to Macy's. It was a good New Year's Eve outfit. It was the best outfit in the world, all white, everything, you know what I'm saying? Head to toe from shoes and all that stuff. I kept the shoes, though, but, you know, I had to wash it, and I returned it the next day. See, this I'm telling you, Shay talking about a victimless crime. The only crime is how much they can charge for these outfits in the first place and put it in the store, okay? You clip the tag off, and you just put it in your wallet, that's all, and you keep the receipt. You ain't got to make sure, you ain't got to tuck the tag or none of that. I'm trying to put y'all on tune to something, man.
Dave, was it a suit or was it just a fit?
No. I'm not wearing no suit. I'm not going to a gala on New Year's Eve. No.
You're not?
I'm not going to no gala. I ain't going to no gala, no. If it was a gala, I would have kept the suit because I'm a wear that sucker every day, okay? Paying $2,000. I'm going to wear that like Barney from that one show. Okay, I'm finna wear that thing every day. But no, I ain't wearing no suit. What'd you say?
You mean Barney the Dinosaur?
Barney Stinson, How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
I got it. That was aimed young, maybe.
Mm. Oh, no. How I Met My Mother?
This is maybe a generational gap here, because when somebody says Barney from TV, that's the first Barney I think of. I don't even think of Barney the Dinosaur.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd have to see that show to know what he's talking about.
See?
CBS?
I don't know. I don't remember. I watched it on Netflix.
Yeah, well, CBS is in syndication now.
Okay. I got to catch up during Cub rain delays. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Yeah, okay. So, good for you. But for me, Dave, that's not what I would do. For me, I'm buying an outfit, and I'm keeping the outfit because I hope to wear it more than once. To return it, it's kind of like, boy, it must be tough times in Skokie. That's what it says here. John in Phoenix on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. All right, John.
Hey, J Hood. I was just calling because what you were talking about with Wilson Contreras, you know, it kind of hurts to say him or hear him say that, you know, the Cardinals organization is better than the Cubs because we gave him a championship. It's kind of like when Aroldis Chapman, after we won the World Series, you know, was kind of talking down about the Cubs because he said he was overused. Like, we gave you a ring. Just be grateful. But it feels really good, I won't lie, that he's struggling on a team that is also struggling. And the Cardinals are, you know, traditionally a really good team. It feels really good to see them play as bad as they are.
Okay. That's the venom that I thought I was going to get from a Cub fan. Yeah, because it's a rivalry. So you love that. Someone's got to be the black hat. Someone's got to be the white hat. In that case, the Cardinals would wear their black hats. So I totally get that. Yeah, I just don't think the side swipe was necessary from Wilson talking about the organization that way. I mean, no, the Cubs didn't give him a ring. He earned that ring along with the others. So he earned it because he worked hard for it. To the point where I was thinking he deserved another contract with the Cubs initially. But then I thought about it and I thought, okay, if the Cubs aren't trying to win, he'd be a good asset to trade to get something better. Because there was this tearful goodbye, I remember, and never happened for him and Ian Happ. So it's just amazing, though, since he's been with the Cardinals, they don't see him as the catcher of the future. They see him as a DH and playing someplace else because he's been struggling so much. It's interesting. Glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. More of your thoughts on the Wilson Contreras returning to Wrigley Field as a Cardinal, as the Cardinal takes on the Cubs. Also, the resurgent White Sox with Jesse Rogers. That's coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Yes, yes, y'all. And you don't stop. To the beat, y'all. And you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all. And you don't stop. 1-2, y'all. And you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all.
We got Worst Weekends coming up at 9:35 right here on ESPN 1000 at the ESPN Chicago app. But now let's go to Jesse Rogers, who covers Major League Baseball for ESPN, ESPN.com, brought to you by Power Equipment Direct on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
I am doing great, Jay Hood. Good to be with you. Cubs and Cardinals this week. Should be exciting. What's happening?
Absolutely. Well, you know what's happening, pal. An interesting weekend. A little Cub, a little Sox, yep. Both with winning weekends. Let me start with the Cubs regarding what I was talking about with Wilson Contreras. Yep. You remember those quotes just like anybody else. Wilson took a couple of side swipes at the Cubs organization, talking about the Cardinals being a better organization. Got to learn the Cardinal way. He's right because traditionally the Cardinals have played the game the right way. Just not over the last 10 years. I mean, it started with Matheny, right? I just thought at his regime moving forward, they have not played the kind of baseball that you and I grew up with. And so he comes back to Wrigley. What do you think the response will be?
Oh, I know Cub fans as well as anybody, and I think they're going to love him. They're going to embrace him. They're going to cheer him, Jay Hood. And I'll give you a caveat. Until he gives them a reason not to. Certainly in his first at-bat, he will get cheered. Now, if he hits a home run, maybe not so much the second at bat. If he ticks off a Cub, maybe not so much in the second at bat. But as long as he's a good citizen in accordance to how Cub fans view him, I think he's going to get cheered as much as any ex-Cub that comes back. I think the people in the stadium will ignore those comments in the moment. I know how fans react. This is not Philadelphia. This is not Boston. They're going to show him love, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'd say 75-80% will show him love because, again, part of a championship team, that whole thing, can you just briefly just review what happened at the deadline last year? It was supposed to be Contreras and Happ to be traded, and it never happened. Remember the tearful goodbye from both of those guys? It never happened. So what happened there at the end that they were not dealt?
Yeah, Jed just did not like what he was hearing back. It's as pretty as simple as that. Houston thought they had a deal for him, and at the last minute, the Astros nixed it. Tampa Bay wouldn't give up a player that was rehabbing from Tommy John surgery that the Cubs wanted, and so eventually just pulled him off the market. Remember, they got a draft pick for him when he left via free agency, so it just comes down to hearing the right thing. And if you don't hear the right thing, why compromise your values? I get that. Some people say, well, just give him away for anybody. Just get a single-A player. But you are going to get that draft pick, which turns into a player. And we'll see what that player is going to be this July when they draft. But that's it. He just didn't like what he heard back. And it was the Astros. It was the Rays. It was a couple other teams. The market wasn't huge. You know, it's not huge to – in terms of starting catchers in July. That's not a market that usually you see every year. So the two teams that were interested, it just kind of fell apart.
After losing the series against the Nationals, I thought it was a good bounce-back series for the Cubs to win 2 out of 3. I expected more runs, actually, Jesse. We had some nice days. I thought the wind was going to be blowing out. We had some low-scoring games, but the Cubs still found a way to win these games. Again, the last game was a disaster. You got a ghost runner at second, and you constantly couldn't get him in the extra inning. That was brutal. But, again, a good series for the Cubs.
Yeah, it was a good series, and you have to remember, they were down 2-0 in the ninth. Most of the time, you don't win that game, so the fact that they tied it and got it to extras was good, but they lost. I think they're 0-9 now when trailing after 8, so they haven't had that big come-from-behind in the ninth inning or later. I wasn't surprised by the low-scoring aspect of this series because we have now seen the Cubs settle into who they really are, the team that we kind of all predicted after they signed Swanson. A low-scoring, pretty good pitching staff, but a very good defensive team that is going to play a lot of tight games. And what's happening, they're not winning all of them. They're 2-8 in one-run games, in part because their offense isn't kind of fully evolved just yet, Jay Hood. They're not, you know, getting that crooked number up there in the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning. They're not adding on late now since the early kind of offensive splurge they had in April. That wasn't really them. This is more who they are. So that's one thing. They're not getting late inning offense as much as you might want to see. And the other thing is they've had some ninth inning, you know, sort of issues. Michael Fulmer was the closer. He's kind of been pulled from that role. And Keegan Thompson and Adbert Azalea, these guys are just feeling out their roles as short inning, you know, late inning, short stint kind of reliever. Sometimes they'll go multiple innings, but we've seen them in tight games, and I think they're learning how to pitch in relief back there. So 2-8 one-run games isn't shocking to me as well for these reasons, and this is why I think they're 17-17. They're just kind of feeling themselves out. Saying that, Jay Hood, they're in a winnable division. How many times in the last decade have the Cardinals kind of been out of it or this far out of it in May? It's happened before a little bit, and they've gone on some runs. In 21, they went on a run. But this feels differently. Obviously, some controversies with their catching situation that they have to deal with. But this feels different, and the division is wide open now. And what the Cubs can do is debut players like Miguel Amaya and Matt Mervis and still compete. So it really bodes well for the future, but you still have a shot this year because of the division.
Here we come, Jess, 12-23. Here come the Sox. You win a series against the Twins. You beat the Reds. I'll tell you what, the most impressive thing to me is the turnaround in Luis Robert Jr. So yeah. Since that whole incident, him lollygagging down the first, tight hamstring or not, I mean, it was controversial. Ever since then, Jesse, that guy has just been hotter than fish grease. That guy has been outstanding offensively and defensively. Ninth inning, big spot over the weekend. He catches the ball in the outfield on a fly ball and throws it to first in time for a double play to thwart the rally for the Reds. Outstanding. Then offensively, he's coming through. So out of these three games, first of all, it's so great to have a laugher. God, the Sox have need to laugh all season. 17-4, for God's sakes, 11-2. You've been waiting for that all season. But Robert, I think, is a big catalyst for all of this.
I think it's a great point. And look, I think there is a correlation between what happened. Javi Baez, same thing. Embarrassed publicly. What has he and the Tigers have done since then? They've been really good. Luis Robert, embarrassed publicly, pulled from the game. What's he been since then? Really good. Shame and embarrassment still work, especially in this viral world we live in. That thing went everywhere. Everybody was talking about it. John Boy Media, you know, it was a national story. You know, this is why I disagreed with Cap. You don't need to send a guy to the minors. You pull him from a major league game, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. And I'm not surprised he's had a good week. This is a guy that needs a little kick in the pants. He needs to get his motor going. And this certainly helped. So maybe we'll look back on Pedro Grifol's move there and applaud it in a big way. But in the short term, I think it's had an effect. Nobody can prove me wrong or right, right? We can't say for sure Baez is better after getting after his thing for getting the outs. We can't say for sure Robert's better after getting pulled. But it sure feels like there's a correlation. I still have my doubts this team can go on a run. because now of Eloy being out and Mankata still out, it's just sketchy in a lot of different areas. But they're better with Tim Anderson back in the lineup, as we've documented, Jay Hood. And you are so right. They needed a laugher, and they got one.
I know this becomes a your mean question for you, but when it comes to Alberto for the Sox, okay, I like him in the lineup, Jess. I do. There was a really, I thought, heady defensive play that he made holding onto the tag at third base to get the runner out in, the, I believe, the first game of the series against the Reds.
Yep.
So a good defensive play. And then the bat seems to be working well. I'm not trying to be prisoner of the moment, but I'm just looking for some offense here. Do you see him as a major leaguer, or is he a triple-A guy or double-A guy just playing well?
No, he's a major leaguer. He's just not a major league starter. But this is okay. This is a spot start situation, meaning until other guys get healthy. He can do it for a week, you know, but eventually he would be exposed over the months if he was a starting player. But I agree with you, and I will say their depth is a little bit better than I thought. It's still spotty, like Berger's great offensively, not so much defensively. Sheets can come in, same thing, giving it a bat, but defensively you got to put him in the right spot. But their front line depth is better than I thought. It's just if they have to dip down to AAA or AA, you know, the Cubs called up a AA catcher, and he's shown well so far. I don't think the Sox can necessarily do that and survive. But Hanser Alberto is a guy people around the league loved as a teammate, as a backup. The Dodgers liked him. So I agree with you. That's a good thing. But he's not an everyday player, but he could do it for a short period of time. So I will say, between Berger, Sheets, and him, those are three like secondary players that I think, you know, have shown well so far in spot moments, spot starts in different moments. But they need to get healthy. They need to get healthy and certainly keep the guys like Tim Anderson on the field because they're just so much better with him.
Jesse, big picture question regarding Shohei Ohtani. Kylie McDaniel wrote this on ESPN.com, the MLB insider, talking about how much Ohtani could get in free agency. And so, were you part of this panel, by the way? There's 26 responses. Okay, so in your gut, I need to talk to Jesse, the talk show host. Jesse, for Ohtani, could he make less than $500 million? So a four-year, $240 million, 8 years, $400 million. Could he make less than $500, or will he make $500 and above? Your gut, that's on the market. Like, for Ohtani, you know what he brings to the table? Great PR, can pitch, can hit. You know that he'll bring put butts in seats in any ballpark. What does it sound like to you? 9 years, $500 million, 4 years, $240 million, 8 years, $400 million. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this will be his last contract. It just, that's the trend, and there's no reason that he wouldn't get the max of that trend, meaning the 10-year type of deal. So I think it's going to be more like 9 or 10. $400 to $500, you know, it's like the low end is $400, the high end is $500. I'm sure his agent would love to hit the $500 million mark. He'll forever be known as the first guy to get that, an agent to get that. Oh man, it's a tough call. I'm no expert on this, but I'm going to say it's shy of $500 million, just because my head can't even fathom getting to that number. So I'm going to say it's shy of 500. Maybe it's more like 450 or something. It gets $45 million a year for 10 years.
Because that's one of the options. Less than $500 million would be an 8-year deal, $400 million. Or like 9 years, $427 million.
Yeah, so something like that. I'm going to go something like that. I'm just going to go that route, because over 500 is blowing away the previous number, right? Like, if you get over $400 million, you're already setting the standard. To get over 500, you're really setting a mark that's never even come close to. So I'm going to say it's in the $400 million range.
So with 1 minute left, the question is, can the Cubs pay that? Will the Cubs pay that? That's a better question. Will the Cubs pay that?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. It's just, that's the default position to take. There's other owners more willing to push their chips in that direction. I'm just going to say no. I could be wrong. It's early in the state in this thing. It seems like the Cubs are spreading out their money a little bit more. If they put it all into him, they probably can't spend elsewhere. Like, Steve Cohen can spend on it and spend elsewhere. I don't see the Cubs spending there and then elsewhere. So I'm going to say no, they don't do it.
Jesse, as always, it is my pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show.
You got it, pal. I'll talk to you later in the week.
All right, it is Jesse Rogers, brought to you by Power Equipment Direct. He's on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Who had the worst weekend in sports or entertainment? Find out next on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Cubs lost the series finale against the Miami Marlins by the score of 5-4 in 14 innings. They took the series 2 out of 3, did the Cubs, and Wilson Contreras returns to Wrigley Field tonight at 6:40 as the Cubs take on the Cardinals. The White Sox win their second consecutive series. They beat the Reds yesterday by a score of 17-4, second series win of the season. Sox take on Kansas City tonight, pregame at 6 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Will the Cubs get Connor Bedard in the NHL lottery? Find out tonight at 8. Also, the NBA playoffs, the Sixers beat the Celtics in overtime. That series is tied at 2. The Suns, they beat the Nuggets at 2 apiece. Also, NHL playoffs, the Devils beat the Hurricanes 8-4, trailing the series 2-1. Panthers beat the Leafs 3-2 to take a 3-0 lead. The Kraken beat the Stars 7-2 to take a 2-1 series lead in that playoff matchup. Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap'n Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Swept by the Pirates?
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma.
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet.
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Time for the worst weekends here, as we do every Monday at 9:35 right here on ESPN 1000. And by the way, this segment, we're going to hook you up with a pair of tickets to see the Schaumburg Boomers. If you want to go, don't take the tickets if you can't go. We'll tell you when to call during Worst Weekends, brought to you by the Schaumburg Boomers. Stay by your listening device so you can find out when to call for tickets right here on Cap'n Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Worst Weekends, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, it was a good weekend for the horse Mage that won the Kentucky Derby, but I think it was a bad weekend for the Kentucky Derby and horse racing overall, because the event, Hoodie, was overshadowed by 7 horses dying. 5 horses scratched from the race for medical reasons, 7 horses dying.
Okay, so I'm this years old realizing that it was happening as I was watching the coverage. So this is part of the segment of the Kentucky Derby coverage on NBC, where Mike Tirico, along with Randy Moss, can you believe that, former wide receiver and also analyst, Randy Moss is there, along with...
Dug into the Sunday Night Football reserves.
It's got Randy Moss and a former jockey is sitting there, right? And they're talking about this, and Tirico's just none. He's, well, we've got to talk about this. There, we have horses dying. And people are protesting, PETA, and people are protesting. And it's like, dude, I didn't know that until I was watching the coverage of how many horses have died. Now, it's bad, obviously, to see a horse die, but it's kind of like, so how do you solve that situation? How does that get better? I mean, they're just dying just out of nowhere. I thought a darkness over the Kentucky Derby, that whole thing.
I'm not going to pretend to know, and I think the number of people who would know is a very, very small percentage of the population.
Yeah.
But there are like a lot of articles now about safety coming into horse racing and how they need to do a better job. And yeah, it kind of seems that way. 7 horses died. And I think it was something like 40 in the past few weeks have passed away.
I mean,
it's just a problem. I mean, we know this is no better way to phrase it than this. We know this is a dying sport, but to see it really quite literally happen that way.
Damn. Jay Moore, your thoughts.
Was any of the horses that were supposed to race that particular day, did they die on that day, or these are just horses in general?
No, I don't think any of the scratches died. There were other horses that did.
Yeah, Forte's still alive.
Well, for now, until the owner sends him to the glue factory.
That's sad to say. I learned that, too, like in real time, watching the coverage. I'm like, oh, how many horses are dying? I mean, that's... you talk about horse safety. I don't know what horse safety is. You want to make sure that he's well fed, that the horses are well fed and
get
alive.
Him better hooves. I don't know.
But that's a lot of horses dying. So that's when you need Cap. just for that segment, then he can go back to vacation. But that's what that's when you need Cap to explain why that's the case. That is a worse weekend for Mr. Ed. All right, what else?
So Cincinnati has their Flying Pig Marathon that they held yesterday morning. If you paid attention to the weather in Cincinnati yesterday, it was severe thunderstorms, flash flooding, not a situation where you want to be running a marathon.
Yes.
The Flying Pig Marathon refused to delay the start and instead started right on time, I believe it's 6:30 a.m., and an hour into the race issued a shelter in place, forcing marathon runners to shelter in place, find a place to stop before they could resume.
You said pigs can fly, right?
Flying Pig Marathon.
So how much bacon was in the sky? How many pigs were out there? How many?
I believe zero. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you just said that there was a Flying Pigs Marathon, right?
I don't know why it's called that, but that is what they call it.
So how many pigs are out there? Were they parachuted in? What else does it say about that? I want to know.
See, the picture here, they're serving pizza. You'd think it'd be sausage or something.
To me, if I'm going out there, Shay, like, hey, you're going to see a Flying Pig Marathon, I'm going to go out there and see it and make sure I put it on my Instagram. But if there's not actually flying pigs, then what's the point of that?
Cincinnati. Just a marathon.
See, I understand. I want to know, Shay, what would be your initial reaction when you saw you? The first thing you would think is flying pigs, right?
Well, we know pigs can't fly, so.
Well, I've seen a few.
The first thing I thought was, why are they running this? And the second thing I thought was, why is it called that? And I still don't have either answer.
Well, just the idea that they had a marathon and they had severe. And actually, the Sox game got in. That was later on in the day, but they try to get it in at 6 o'clock, you say, in the morning? 6:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. I need to know more about this, because if there are actually pigs flying, I want to be there to watch it. I could see them all with, like, 200 parachutes on, and they're just flying through, and whoever lands first gets eggs and bacon afterwards.
Skillet.
What's our next story? Worst weekends.
Well, A's announcer Glenn Kuiper had a little bit of a rough go calling the A's Royals game. He was trying to talk about a certain museum in the city of Kansas City, and he said the wrong word.
Yeah, which word was that?
I'll let you handle this.
What word?
He used a racial slur instead of the title of the museum.
Let me think now. Title of the museum. Let's see, Museum of Science and Industry?
No. He was, they wanted to visit the Negro League Baseball Museum.
Is what?
Listen, I'm careful. And he used the wrong word at the start, a very offensive word that you can't use.
Okay, so I saw this, the longtime A's announcer, Glenn Kuiper, Dwayne Kuiper's son. And I saw this, right? And so it's pretty simple. It's the Negro League Museum. Negro League Museum, even if you have to spell out phonetically. Now, you know what is not being reported here, Shay Norling, Jay Moore? You know what's not being reported? Usually, not every team, usually, these opens are pre-recorded. You ever watch one of these regional games on baseball and you don't see fans in the stands? Usually those things are taped way in advance. In case they screw up, they don't want to do it live, they make sure it's taped. And again, this is A's Kansas City, in Kansas City. Okay, so, you know, they don't draw a lot of fans, but I just know that seemed like that was pre-recorded. It was pre-recorded. The person that was doing recording, didn't that person notice there was something weird about the word Negro?
It can't possibly have been pre-recorded and they left that in. It can't possibly have been. That would be...
Why are you defending them?
Then it got through Glenn Kuiper. It got through the production people. Got through everybody.
It's fair. That happens.
That's unbelievable. There's no way. I can't imagine this got through more than one person.
Huh. Really? I can believe it. You know why? It's television. That does not surprise me.
Well, maybe the A's see the 2,000 people in their stands and figure no one's watching anyway.
I mean, this is not the last time, and to be clear, this is not the last time that Kuiper used the N-word mistakenly. He's done this before. And this has been, it's floating out there on social media if you care to find it. Negro League Museum. See how that just felt, just ripped right off the top of my head. why did he confuse that word, Negro, with something else? Here's Jay Moore with more. Jay? Exactly. So now we get to the question is, should Kuiper be fired? I know that's out there.
He's suspended indefinitely right now.
Oh, is he?
He is.
Oh, wow.
That's why he made Worst Weekends. Because he didn't just do this and go viral. He is suspended indefinitely.
It just rolls out the tongue for me. Don't know why I didn't do that for Kuiper. I mean, it's right there on the building, isn't it? The Negro League Museum. And somehow that became something else.
The ease with which he said the other thing is, to me...
I don't know.
I mean, that's not hoodie, I don't know. That's not a word that I can very easily just use. It's not something... And then blow past it like nothing happened.
And
he seemed
proud about it. He just did it like it was just second nature.
He said, you know, blank league, you know, he said... Blank League Museum, Kansas City Barbecue. We had a great time here in Kansas City. And it's kind of like you fumbled your words there. That wasn't great. It's a bad moment. And I am going, and you can dig a little deeper. No way that was live. I think it was pre-taped. And I just thought, okay, that's a good take.
Well, then multiple people will be fired.
That is Worst Weekends. Oh, man, that's just brutal. All right, that's the Worst Weekends. And let's see, be caller 5, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. If you want to see the Schaumburg Boomers and go see a great time, check it out, the Schaumburg Boomers. And, of course, they're always fan-friendly. Caller 5, regular line, you can win 2 tickets to check out the Schaumburg Boomers. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood weekday mornings at 7. We have got the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day that's right around the corner on ESPN 1000.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. A crosstalk with Black and Abdallah coming your way at 10 o'clock. But now time for the Captain Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Ah, David Flom, he's the best. Think about this. For the spring and the summer, you're looking for a great place to have lunch or dinner. Chicago Cut Steakhouse is the place that you go. A wonderful place. Take yourself, take your family, take clients. Chicago Cut Steakhouse. All right, Jay Moore, what do you have?
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
My sister-in-law lost her mom, so she was buried yesterday.
My condolences.
I see a gentleman talking to my sister-in-law, Wendy, who I adore, to her stepbrother. And I think, I don't know the guy, but he just had the rabbi look. He's in a suit. They don't have a uniform. So, I see a priest off to the side.
Uh-huh.
Hang on. This guy's not in the program. What's he speaking for? You're not even Jewish. Get out.
That's what I said, said to Mindy.
Oh, but poor Mindy.
Why is he speaking?
That should be me up there. Want to say a few words? Cubs should have played better against the Nationals. That's a team that's not very good. Take that. And let me tell you something about Jerry as well. Mr. Reinsdorf. Good man. Good man. But should sell the team if he's not willing to spend money. And this whole thing with the Bulls. Carter Shovers. Eversley. They're no good. Nothing's happening over there. But Jed, that's my friend. Things are good working over there. How much money they spent? Over $300 million. Yeah, how about that? I'm just telling you, things have got to change over there on the south side. My friend, Jonathan Hood, ESPN 1000, by the way, every morning at 7. Put it in your phone. Why are you looking shocked, lady? Anyway, Captain Jay Hood, we talk about it all the time. That Sox team isn't any good. Things have to change. What are you looking at, Padre? You don't watch sports? Get some love in your life. Oh, sorry.
Tune in.
And that's all, folks.
And that is the Cap'n J Hood cut of the day. Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Proudly brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom, ChicagoCutSteakhouse.com. Today is National Have a Coke Day. Have a Coke Day. Are you? Well, that's just disgusting. I mean, we know that's part of the business. That's what keeps us alive here. Gotta have that.
Feel the rush.
You gotta keep the heart pumping. Are you more of a Coke or Sprite guy, Shay Norling?
Coke.
Coke or Pepsi, I should have asked. Coke or Pepsi?
I don't care. I'm a neutral. I know you want me to pick one, but I really can't lie to you. I'm very neutral on it.
Got to protect those endorsement deals, man.
Would you know the difference in a taste test?
Yes, 100%.
So, but you have to choose one. I mean, here's someone definitive on the most stupidest things in the world, but you're not definitive on Coke or Pepsi.
Because I like both. I don't have a preference. I could tell the difference. Probably lean Pepsi if you're putting me in a box, but I don't feel strongly about it.
Jay Moore, Coke or Pepsi?
Let's see. Coke. I like Coke.
Not that.
Oh, yeah.
We know you're on that. You know what? I've leaned Pepsi over the years.
Really?
The Coke and Pepsi thing, that was what a big-time rivalry over the years. Because Pepsi was just trying to get their comeuppance. They just wanted to get noticed. Then they paid through the nose for Michael Jackson. It's like, hey, could you endorse our deal?
Through the nose.
Yeah, pretty much.
The surgeries, right?
Yeah. Pretty much paid for his surgeries. And then his hair was on fire. Don't forget about that. And that commercial shoot. So National Have a Coke Day, even though some of us are Pepsi people. We thank you for listening and calling and being part of the program here on Cap and Jay Hood. Our thanks to Shay. Our thanks to Jay Moore on the other side of the glass. We'll do this tomorrow as we get a chance to talk to our guy Albert Breer and so much more on our Tuesday edition of Cap and Jay Hood. For the aforementioned Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Thanks so much for listening, and so long, everybody. Take that from Chicago.